Welcome to the church at Woodbine. It is a pleasure seeing each and every one of you all today, this morning, here with us, and also worshiping with us online. We're so grateful that you've joined us. And our prayer for each and every one of us for today is that you would experience our Heavenly Father's love that He has for you in a new, fresh, powerful way. And as we approach Christmas, it's 5 days away. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so we've lit the fourth Advent candle. It is a time of preparation for our hearts, not only for Christmas, Christ Mass, but also for His second coming, which we do not know when that will happen. But we've been commanded to be ready. And with that, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this wonderful day. And we love You, we praise You, we thank You. Father, I thank You for our worship team. Lord, for our choir. I thank You so much for our children. Father, I want to thank You so much for those who've adorned this building, helping us love You, not only with our heart and our mind, but with our eyes, as we see the banners, as we see the candles, as we see the manger scene below the cross. Because in order to get to the cross, we start in the manger, and to get to the manger, we start in Your heart, Heavenly Father. You loved us more than we can possibly imagine. And because of that, You sent Your one and only Son, Jesus, to share our flesh and blood, to be born of a virgin, to be tempted and tried in every way, and then to take our sin upon Himself and allow His blood to be shed, His body to be broken, where He was crucified, died, buried, and yet resurrected. So, Father, I pray that You would give me Your words, that I would say only what You want. Father, touch our minds, touch our hearts, give us wisdom with Your word. Or give us, just touch us in transformation, transform us, bring conviction and encouragement. And we ask these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you would open your Bibles back to Luke or turn your phones back on, Luke chapter 1. Micah, thank you so much for reading. I appreciate it greatly. We've been in Advent. The past couple weeks, we've been talking about John the Baptist. And for the next several months, we're actually going to be going through the Gospel of Luke. It's my favorite gospel. I love it. And as we roar up here to Christmas, here on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we've been talking about John the Baptist. We've been talking a lot about repentance, produce fruits of repentance. Last week, there are two words I had you guys repeat a couple different times. Belief and humility. Say it, belief and humility. And John was calling people out to believe and to be humble. And in order for us to repent, in order for there to be fruits of repentance, it requires the Holy Spirit. But we need humble hearts and hearts that believe. All throughout Scripture we're commanded, do not harden your hearts. Belief and humility. And today I want to read something to you. It should be up on the screen. But we're going to look at the life very briefly, a very brief snippet of the life of Mary, Jesus' mother. And this is something I want to read. God is the God of wonders, signs, and miracles. He is also the God of the orphan, the widow, the defenseless, the foreigner, and the forgotten. No one expected it, but His heart was set on choosing a young, poor country girl to be the mother of His Son. No doubt, Mary was overwhelmed with the angel's greeting and announcement that she would be the mother of God's Son. However, what is more amazing is her response. Knowing that she would face ridicule, mocking, rejection, unbelief, and even possible execution for being pregnant outside of wedlock, she sets the example for all of us when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as You have said." I am the Lord's servant. As disciples making disciples, we are all disciples if we love Jesus. It is important that we have this same attitude of surrender to the Lord. It is said that delayed obedience is actually disobedience. And my question for us today, are there any areas in your life that you're holding back from the Lord? There's a word in this paragraph called surrender. What does surrender mean? When you hear that word surrender, what comes to mind? Just think about it. You don't have to answer out loud. But what does surrender mean? I looked it up real quick, and this is what surrender means. It means cease resistance to an enemy or an opponent and submit to their authority. A lot of words we love, right? Submission, submit, Other words that are synonyms of surrender are this. Given in, capitulate to, give up, yield, concede, submit, back down, acquiesce, defer, cave in, relent, succumb to, crumble, etc. I don't know about y'all, but during the Christmas season, I watch a lot of Christmas movies. We're in the process of moving. We hardly have any of our furniture in the house, but we do have our TV. So we've been watching a lot of Christmas movies. One of the movies that we haven't watched yet is A Christmas Story about little Ralphie Parker who wants to buy a BB gun. He's about 10 years old. If you've seen it, raise your hand just so I get an idea. Okay, if you haven't seen it, if you want to just get a good idea of what our Americana culture was like back in the 50s, you got to watch it. There's a couple inappropriate scenes, but he wants this Red Ryder BB gun. And in the movie, the bully of his school grabs one of his friends, takes his arm and pulls it back and says, "Yeah, uncle, you got to cry out, uncle, uncle." What's he doing? He, as a bully, he's trying to get this fellow classmate to submit to his bullying and to his authority. We used to play uncle all the time. That or mercy, where we'd take someone's arm, pull it up behind their back, and pull and pull and pull until they screamed uncle. Surrender, right? A forced surrender. And for many of us, when we hear the word surrender, we might think of wars or battles. But sometimes the word surrender is the best and greatest response we should have. Last week, we talked about belief and humility. Number three, surrender. And in the life of Mary, she not only believed the angel's words, which he was being God's messenger, but she was humble enough to recognize, even with her fears and her doubts and her questions about what type of greeting is this, she was humble enough to what? Surrender. Surrender to God's will. Here in Luke chapter 1, you guys know the story, starting in verse 26. And we'll go through it pretty quickly. But we'll look at it right here. It says this in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now I want to stop right there because all of us, we know the story, but Luke, being a Gentile, writing to mainly Gentiles, and he has all these words that we might just very quickly roll over because we know the story. We've sung the songs. But there's so much prophetic in these few verses right here. In the sixth month of what? The sixth month of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, of Elizabeth's pregnancy. John and Jesus were relatives. We don't know if they were first cousins, second cousins, fifth cousins, second cousins removed. We don't know, but they were relatives. And when it says in the sixth month, Luke is describing 6 months after Elizabeth's conception. The angel Gabriel, who visited Elizabeth and Zechariah, who visited Zechariah 6 months earlier, is now coming to a woman, a young woman of the town of Nazareth. One of the prophecies about the Messiah is that he would be called a Nazarene. And this woman named Mary, who's young and she's a virgin, she hasn't had sex yet. She's engaged to Joseph. And in Jewish culture, they would be engaged for a year. And it would be considered a marriage in every way except for the physical. In every way. And it says that Joseph was from the line of David. One of the most important prophetic declarations about the coming Messiah is that he had to come from the line and the house of David. The crazy thing is both Joseph and Mary were from the house of David. And so there's all these loaded words in these few verses. And the virgin's name was Mary. And it says here in verse 28, the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." I find it interesting, if you read all throughout Scripture, almost every instance when an angel appeared to someone, the first thing they would say is, "Don't be afraid." Have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever entertained an angel? more of us probably have than we realize. But as we read Scripture, almost every time an angel appears to a human, they'd say, don't be afraid, because they were so awesome and glorious and amazing that the people would be overwhelmed by the brightness of how much they shone as far as just light, and they're described as shining brighter than the sun and powerful words. And yet Gabriel says, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. There's three things in his greeting that he says to Mary. Favored, blessed, the Lord is with you. Unfortunately, I can become a critic of people's prayers, and it's something that I try not to be. But many times when I hear people pray, many times when I myself pray, I'm praying, Lord, please be with us. Go with us on this trip. And sometimes I have to step back. Wait a minute. Why am I praying for something that God has already promised? Instead of pleading for something to happen and for Him to do, why don't I thank Him for what He's already done and what He's promised He will continue to do? But think about it. Here's Mary. We don't know what she's doing. She could be out in the field. She could be in the house. She could be walking the street. It could be early in the morning. It could be late at night. She could be brushing her teeth. We do not know. The movies try to depict it. But here she is in her daily chores, her daily goings about. And all of a sudden, Gabriel shows up. How did he show up? Was it a whisper? Was it with a wind? Was there a flame? Was there a dove that came before? We don't know. But Gabriel is in the room. And it says, I mean, there's an exclamation point here, so I'm assuming like this, with power, greetings, favored woman, blessed, the Lord is with you. It says here in verse 29, but she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Is that ever an understatement or what? Think about it. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. Now listen. Now listen. Other translations might say, consider this. Listen. Are you listening? All right, half asleep. Take both hands. Put them up to your ears. Those watching, do the same. Are you listening? Are you listening? The most important aspect of the passage is coming up. Now listen. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. We're going to go back to that part of the passage in a few minutes, because it's loaded with unbelievable descriptions of who Jesus is. But if you were a 13, 14, 15-year-old young girl, young teenager, and all of a sudden this huge, amazing, brilliantly lit up being came into your presence, I mean, maybe Gabriel was toned down in all his glory. Maybe he just looked like an everyday other Joe. We don't know, but he's still an angel. And he says, greetings, you favored one. The Lord is with you. The Lord has blessed you. He says, oh, by the way, you're going to become pregnant, and it's going to be God's son. I mean, think about what's going on in Mary's brain right now. You're going to conceive, and your son, you're going to name him Jesus, and he'll be the Son of the Most High. He'll reign over Jacob, and his kingdom will never end. I mean, it makes him wonder, yeah, right, sure. And that's actually what she said, kind of, in my version of it. Here in verse 33 and verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I've not had sexual relations with the man? She said, hold on. I mean, I love the movie Shrek. I haven't watched it a whole lot, but the movie says, hold the phone. Wait, stop. Mary's no dum-dum. She's no idiot. She might be a country girl. We don't know how much education she had, but she understands about procreation. She's like, wait a second. I sometimes wonder, was she even processing everything that Gabriel said about who Jesus would be? But she's like, wait, how am I going to be pregnant? I'm not married yet. I'm engaged, but I haven't had any sex yet with anybody. So how is that going to be? And then look what Gabriel says. In verse 35, the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even as she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called childless. For nothing is impossible with God. I have a question. If you know the story about when Gabriel went to Zechariah in the temple, Gabriel showed up in the temple and he spoke to Zechariah. And he told Zechariah something very similar, because Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were old. She had passed the age of childbearing. And the angel Gabriel told Zechariah, Elizabeth is going to become pregnant. Now, it wasn't a miraculous conception like Mary with Jesus. And Zechariah questioned, he's like, how can this be? I'm old. Elizabeth is old. There's no way. She's been childless for decades. And I have to ask the question, if we're honest with ourselves, what's the difference between Zechariah's questions and Mary's questions? They both asked Gabriel, how? How is it to be? And I would say, Zechariah doubted with unbelief. He had doubts with a hard heart. Remember your three words: belief, humility, and surrender. Mary, I would propose, doubted. How can this be? But she still had an open heart of belief and humility. And this is important for us, because God will call us two things. He didn't give Mary an option about being pregnant with Jesus. The angel came and said, you will be pregnant. And you will conceive. And it will be a son. And his name will be Jesus. The angel declares it over Mary. It's going to happen, Mary. And there are many times in our own lives when God will speak powerfully to us, or he'll lead us out in the deserts, or he'll allow horrible things to happen to us, or challenging things to happen to us, or he'll call us to take a step in our lives that are going to be hard and difficult and challenging. And we will have questions, and we will have doubts. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, and including myself, God invites us with our doubts to ask him why and how. Think of Jesus when he is walking out on the sea with the wind and the waves, and the disciples were in the boat. And when they saw him, they were terrified. And Peter opens his big mouth, or his little mouth, and he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. What does Jesus say? Come on. What does Peter do? He steps out of that boat. Do you think he had doubts about stepping out of that boat? Do you think he might have been afraid? But what did he do? He stepped out of that boat. And he gets a bad rap, and I know I share this a lot about Peter. Peter can be criticized all day long about stepping into it, putting his foot into his mouth and betraying Jesus and lying about Jesus and denying Jesus. And I can imagine when the disciples all argued about who is most important, Peter could always say, yeah, but I walked on water. And in the same way with Mary here, when Gabriel comes and tells her what is going to happen and the child that she's going to have, she has doubts. She has questions. She's wondering why and how. And I'm stressing this because I think many times we're afraid to go to God with our questions, with our doubts, with our fears, because as good Christians, we should always be strong. We should always have faith. We should never doubt. And we've equated doubt with unbelief, but they're different. We can have a heart that's humble, full of belief, full of faith, and yet we have doubts, we have questions, and we wonder why and how. And I want to encourage you, that's okay. It says here in this passage here that Jesus would rule over the house of Jacob. Jacob's other name was Israel. And when Jacob, when he was going to be reconciled back with his older twin brother Esau, the night before he met up with Esau, he wrestled with God. And at the end of the night of wrestling, God told him to release me. And Jacob said, not until you bless me. I want to know your name. God did not give him his name, but he touched him in the hip. He wounded him, and then he changed his name to Israel. God invites us to come into his presence with a humble heart and to give him all of our doubts, all of our questions, to surrender everything that we have inside of us. And to say the exact same thing that Mary said here at the very end. Because after Gabriel encouraged Mary, saying, look, your son will be the Son of the Most High. He will be God's son and he'll rule forever. And then he says, consider this, even your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, she's been childless for decades. She's going to have a son because you see, nothing is impossible with God. God promises and he fulfills. Now, it might not be what we're thinking or what we want, but he is faithful with his promises and he is true. How does Mary respond? Right here in verse 38. What does she say? I am the Lord's servant. Another translation can be, I am the Lord's slave. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left her. Can we say the same thing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Walking in belief and humility and surrender. There's several things that I just want to close with, and just a couple things I want to highlight here about this passage. The first one is this. The Lord is faithful to fulfill his promises. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. For 400 years, there was 400 years of silence from the last Old Testament prophet until John the Baptist. And both in John the Baptist's birth and annunciation of his birth, and then with Jesus, Gabriel showed up. God is not like us. He does not lie. He does not deceive. And he's faithful with all of his promises. For many, it might seem like he's late and he's delaying those promises, but he's faithful and true. The second one is this. The Lord will call us to very difficult times and challenges. And for some of us, he will call us out to take a step in a way that we could not even imagine. Just like with Mary, because think about it. You have this teenage girl. She's engaged to Joseph. Who is going to believe that she became pregnant miraculously by the Holy Spirit? Who's going to believe that? Can you imagine the conversation, the first conversation she's going to have with Joseph? Think about it. Who's going to believe her? Who's going to believe, even if Joseph does believe her, who's going to believe them that they were faithful and pure until their wedding day? For Mary, she knew that she could run the risk if she was found to have been pregnant by another guy. She could have been stoned and executed. Think about all of her life plans thrown out the window with this incredible announcement. And then think about as she's processing what Gabriel said about Jesus, that her firstborn, her son, is going to be God's son. And he's going to rule over the throne of David forever. Can you imagine the pressure? I've got three kids. And I can't believe that they're almost all three are teenagers now. And I'm like, oh, I hope I'm doing a good job. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. I blinked and Sammy was 2. I blinked. He's now 16. Eric's 14. It goes so fast. And the pressure as a parent to raise your kids well. And I was told by a dear friend who's got a kid in college. He says, parenting never ends. I have other friends who have great grandkids and are like, parenting never ends. Can you imagine the pressure Mary must have felt? Like, man, this baby that I'm going to have is God's son. And I will say this, just for clarification. The Holy Spirit and Mary did not have a sexual relationship. There are religions that believe that and teach that. That is not what's happened. God spoke and all the universe was created. In a miraculous, powerful way, as it says here, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. They did not have a sexual relationship. And a miraculous way is the conception. That is why Jesus is 100% God and 100% man in the flesh. It's a miracle. And when we get to heaven and we see Jesus, we'll be like, ah, I get it. But look at Jesus. The final thing is the greatness of Jesus Christ in this passage. Meditate on it. Homework for this week. And Mary, I know you'll do it because you tell me every week that you will. This is your homework. Meditate on verse 31 through 33. Meditate on verse 31 through 33 of this week. Look at what Gabriel says about Jesus. Now listen. Hands to your ears. Listen. Listen. And this is what Christmas is all about. It's all about Him. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Jesus means the Lord saves. He will be great. Another step of homework. Look up all the synonyms you can for the word great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. How long is forever? How long is forever? Think about it. As we live this life, and remember, we are citizens of at least two countries. Some of us, it's three or four. But our citizenship is in heaven. And even though our citizenship and where we live here today, and even as we look at 2021, hoping it'll be better than 2020, there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of uncertainty. And unfortunately, too many of us put our faith and our hope in whatever political politician or political party or Supreme Court judge or whatever president or whatever this or whatever that. Our hope, our trust should be in this man here who's described here by Gabriel, the Son of the living God. He is the one who rules and reigns forever. And I know most of you know that. But many times we forget it on our everyday lives. He rules and reigns forever. And in this declaration, his kingdom will have no end. Just think about it. Jesus' kingdom will have no end. Never, ever will it end. He'll never be impeached. He'll never resign. He'll never be kicked out. He will never die. He will rule forever. So meditate on these verses, verse 31 to 33. Read it every day this week. Celebrate it on the night of the 24th and the morning of the 25th, because this is why we celebrate Christmas. And in closing, all of us need to follow the example of Mary. So I want to invite you to please stand. And Trell, if you and the worship team could come back. Chris, if you don't mind coming back. There's a couple questions I want to ask each of us, and there's a couple verses I want us to look at first. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him, and we've drawn near to him, we can draw near to him every day. What must we do? We must believe that he exists." There's that first word, belief. We must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Do you seek him? Have you seen the little yard signs that say wise men still seek him today? Are you one of those wise women or wise men? The second verse is this, and this kind of follows into the heart of Mary, where she said, "I am the Lord's servant." It's Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Some 30 years later, when her son, Jesus the Christ, when he was preaching and teaching and healing, he said this, he declared this when the multitudes were following him. Look at what Jesus said. Then he said to them all, "If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, Jesus." So my questions for all of us today are this. Here's the first one. Are there any areas in your life that you're holding back from the Lord? Because see, as disciples making disciples, it's important that we have this same attitude as that of Mary. And it is said that delayed obedience is actually disobedience. And I know we've hit really hard the past four Sundays about repentance and humility. But my question for all of us today, is there any area in your life that you're holding back where God has spoken to you to surrender and give to Him? And you're like, uh-uh, not that. The second question is this. What is one thing that God has been showing you this Advent season that He wants to do in your life? For Mary, it was be the mother of Jesus. How has God been speaking to you this Advent season? Third question is this. How will you respond to Him? He loves you dearly. He loves you greatly. Our Heavenly Father wants to shower you with His blessings and His presence. He wants to have a deep, intimate relationship with you. Do not forget that this Christmas season. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this incredible day. And Holy Spirit, as we approach December 25th, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus, may we truly bow the knee as we look at the cross behind me, as we look at this manger scene and we see the husband and wife kneeled before Jesus, symbolically kneeled before the cross. May our lives be built only and solely on You, Jesus, as we kneel before You in worship and praise. And it's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen.